Begin reading at verse number 19, Genesis 25, verse 19. And these are the generations of Isaac, Abraham's son. Abraham begat Isaac, and Isaac was 40 years old when he took Rebekah to wife, the daughter of Bethuel the Syrian, of Padan Aram, the sister to Laban the Syrian. And Isaac entreated the Lord for his wife because she was barren, and the Lord was entreated of him, and Rebekah his wife conceived. And the children struggled together within her, and she said, "If it be so, why am I thus?" And she went to inquire of the Lord. And the Lord said unto her, "Two nations are in thy womb, and two manner of people shall be separated from thy bowels. And the one people shall be stronger than the other people, and the elder shall serve the younger." Now we're going to read the rest of this chapter, but let me set up for you what's happened so far. Isaac, of course, is the son of Abraham, and Isaac had took a wife named Rebekah. And the Lord had not allowed Rebekah to have any children. So, as we just read, Isaac prayed to the Lord, and the Lord gave conception there. But sometime far along into the pregnancy, there was this struggle within Rebekah's body. She knew something was going on in there. It wasn't just your routine kicks and punches. You ladies know what that's all about. And she felt a great struggle within her, I mean physically, within her womb. And she went and inquired, and the Lord told her, "There's two boys. You're carrying two boys in your womb. We know their names to be Jacob and Esau." And God said to Rebekah, "Those two boys will be the leaders of two nations. One nation will be stronger than the other nation, and the elder will serve the younger." Now, that's where we are so far. So Rebekah has just learned that she's carrying twins, twin boys, and she's also just learned that those boys would be the heads of nations, and she's learned that contrary to custom, this is important, the elder would serve the younger. Now, by custom, the younger was to serve the elder, but not in this case. God said, this is going to be a different case altogether. Now that's where we are. Look at verse 24. "And when her days to be delivered were fulfilled, behold, there were twins in her womb." Anybody have twins in your family? Just raise your hand. Anybody have twins somewhere in your family? All right. Well, you may know something about this. Verse 25. "And the first came out red all over like an hairy garment." Boy, that's some way to talk about your precious newborn baby. Don't ever say that. When you know you're called to the hospital, think of something a little nicer than that. "And they call his name," what's the name, folks?
Esau.
He's the elder. Verse 26, "And after that came his brother out, and his hand took hold on Esau's heel, and his name was called Jacob, and Isaac was 80 years old when she bare them." Can you imagine? Gives birth to these two babies, and the second baby takes a hold of his elder brother's heel, almost as if to say, "No, I'm going to be the elder. I'm coming out first." Well, it wasn't that way, but that shows you something about the character of Jacob. He was trying to get ahead. Have you ever met folks that'll do whatever they have to do to get ahead? Even if they have to walk on other people to do it? That's the kind of man Jacob was initially. Then look at verse 27. "And the boys grew, and Esau was a cunning hunter, a man of the field, and Jacob was a plain man, dwelling in tents. And Isaac loved Esau because he did eat of his venison, but Rebekah loved Jacob. And Jacob sowed pottage, and Esau came from the field, and he was faint. And Esau said to Jacob, 'Feed me, I pray thee, with that same red pottage, for I am faint.' Therefore was his name called Edom. Jacob said, 'Sell me this day thy birthright.' And Esau said, 'Behold, I am at the point to die.'" You ever heard somebody say, "I'm starving to death"? Well, that's where this expression comes from. He said, "Behold, I am at the point to die, and what profit shall this birthright do to me?" And Jacob said, "Swear to me this day," and he swore unto him, and he sold his birthright unto Jacob. Then Jacob gave Esau bread and pottage of lentils, and he did eat and drink and rose up and went his way. Thus Esau despised his birthright. Now, a lot's just happened here, folks. A birthright was a very precious thing. You have to understand something about the custom of the Jews to understand what a birthright was. It was more than just a ceremonial declaration. It actually gave the elder son the rights to possess all that the father had. He was the elder. He was to take over the estate. He was the one to have the birthright. And it was a very important thing for the firstborn to have. Esau had been out hunting, obviously, for some time, and he came back from the hunt, and he was so hungry that he was willing to sell away his birthright for one meal. And that's why the Bible said that he despised his birthright. Do you know in the New Testament, referring to this event, the Bible said that God hated Esau and he loved Jacob? Pretty strong words, isn't it? God himself said, Esau have I hated, and Jacob have I loved. What could Esau have done that so angered the Lord that God said, I hate Esau? He despised his birthright. He despised that which was spiritual and important to gain something that was earthly and temporary. Now, here's the message I want to bring to you this morning. I want us to compare these two brothers, Jacob and Esau. We're going to let Esau stand for the Christian who is earthly minded. All he cares about is the here and now. We're going to let Jacob stand for the Christian who thinks of heavenly things, who's the spiritual Christian. And we compare these men's life, and you can see there's a world of difference between them. Now, if you're a Bible reader, you'll know that there are several pairs of brothers in Scripture. The first set of brothers we find in the book of Genesis is Cain and Abel. We all know how that turned out. We understand that Cain, because of his jealousy, killed Abel. Then you read about Isaac and Ishmael. We know about those two brothers. Because of the conflict between those two brothers, you have what's going on over there in the Middle East right today between the Arabs and the Israelis. It's an old conflict. Then you have James and John in the New Testament. They're called the sons of thunder. So God makes a use of brothers in Scripture. But these brothers here, as far as I'm concerned, stand as the clearest picture of the contrast between a believer who is earthly minded and the believer who is spiritually minded. I want you to get familiar with a word right now that I want you to grab a hold of. The word is carnal. C-A-R-N-A-L. I hope you've heard that word before. That's a Bible word. The word carnal means flesh, fleshly. You go to the grocery store, and let's say you're making chili, and you see the can there. Chili con what? Chili con carne. Is that how you say it up here? You know what that's saying? Chili with meat. Amen? Did you all learn in school about carnivores? If an animal was a carnivore, that means it's a meat eater. So the word carnal means fleshly. It has the idea of something of the earth. Now, I want you to listen as I read you some verses that contrast the carnal Christian with the spiritual Christian. So for the remainder of this message, we're going to let Jacob and Esau represent believers because they both had the same father, didn't they? Now, again, the interpretation, I'm not talking about the interpretation. I'm making an application, and in the application, I'm going to let both of these brothers represent believers, Christians, if you will. Do you know it's possible for a man or woman to be born again and still not be spiritually minded? Do you know it's possible to have your name in the Lamb's Book of Life and still live carnally? Listen to these verses, Romans chapter 8, verse 6, for to be carnally minded is death, but to be spiritually minded is life and peace. Listen to this, 1 Corinthians 3, 1. Paul's talking to believers here. He said, I, brethren, could not speak unto you as unto spiritual, but as unto carnal. Paul writes to these believers and Paul says, I wish I could talk to you about spiritual things, but I can't because you all are still carnal. You're still fleshly. You're still immature in the faith. Listen to this in 1 Corinthians 9:11. If we have sown unto you spiritual things, is it a great thing if we shall reap your carnal things? Now, the point I'm making here with these scriptures is this. There is a marked difference between carnal and spiritual. I hope you get that. I hope you realize that everybody in this house this morning, every Christian in this house is either a carnal Christian or you're a spiritual Christian. Every one of us. And Esau and Jacob stand as a picture of each of those categories. I hope by the end of this message you identify more with Jacob than you do with Esau. Maybe you don't identify with Jacob. Maybe you'd have to be honest and say, most of my attention, most of my effort revolves around things related to this earth. If that's the case, why don't you come get that right with the Lord? Lord, give me a spiritually minded. I don't want to be carnal. So we have Jacob and we have Esau. Now here's the setup. You have this mother, she gives birth to two boys, and as they grow, the differences start to show. And the older they get, the further they drift apart. I want to tell you folks, if you're a born-again believer, just as it was with Rebecca, there's a struggle within you. Wasn't there a struggle here? Now, Rebecca's struggle was physical. These baby boys were having a wrestling match in her stomach. That was a struggle. You know what that's a picture of? That's a picture of the fact that every born-again believer has a struggle on the inside of the two natures. How many of you realize when you got saved, there was a war declared in your soul? Your old man versus your new man. Amen? If you want to know how marked and how real this war is, just get in your mind, you want to spend some time in God's Word, you want to spend some time in prayer, and watch all the things that come through your mind. Look at all the distractions that will come through your mind. Think about the times when your heart is set on the Lord and you're thinking about His goodness and you're thinking about His mercy and you have an attitude of worship and thanksgiving, and then watch what comes your way. The phone will ring, or distraction will come, or you'll get some bad news, or you'll be tempted to let your mind wander. There is a real struggle in the heart and mind of a born-again Christian, your old nature and your new nature. Can I say this lovingly but truthfully? Some of our people are not here this morning because the carnal nature won out over the spiritual nature. I'm going to ask you a question. Be honest with me. How many of you physically, I don't mean if you're sick now, I understand that, but how many of you just, if you went by feelings, you would have stayed in bed this morning? Me and Ron? Okay, brother. Well, we're honest. Thank you, brother. We got three of us. I mean, what if you just served the Lord based on how you felt? Amen? What if you just served the Lord, well, I don't feel like it today, or I don't feel like reading my Bible, I don't feel like praying, maybe I'll catch up tomorrow, but you feel like doing everything else? What is that? That's the struggle. When the old nature and the new nature. Now my question is, of these two men, which do you more closely identify, Jacob or Esau? Or I could say it this way, Jacob walked by faith and Esau walked by sight. You make the decision. You're going to walk by faith or you're going to walk by sight? Here's the first lesson, and we'll get through this morning. Number one, when you compare Jacob with Esau, when you compare the carnal man to the spiritual man, you'll see that the carnal man is concerned with what benefits his body, while the spiritual man is concerned with what benefits his soul. Look back at the text we just read here, Genesis 25. You get to verse 27, and the Bible said, the boys grew, and Esau was a cunning hunter, a man of the field, and Jacob was a plain man dwelling in tents. Isaac loved Esau because he did eat of his venison, but Rebekah loved Jacob. Now, you've already got trouble because these parents had their favorites, and it turned out pretty bad for them both in the end. If you're a parent, be careful about that. Be careful about favoritism among your children. That brought division here, and brought bitterness here, and it brought hatred for a number of years here. Be careful about that. The Bible goes on to say here, verse 29, Jacob sowed pottage. Like, so think of a type of chili, beans, lentils. So Jacob was homebody. He was home cooking lunch, you know, and Esau came in from the field. I can see him there. He's exhausted. He's hungry. And he says, give me something to eat. Jacob, being a cunning man. By the way, Jacob wasn't a perfect man. Don't mistake what I'm saying. Jacob was not a perfect man. And God, if He only used perfect people, He wouldn't have any of us to use. But Jacob was more spiritually minded than Esau. You know what Esau did here, folks? Esau sold away something that was immensely valuable for a bowl of food. Doesn't that tell you something about Esau? His concern was what benefited his flesh, his body. But Jacob knew the value of that birthright. And Jacob said, I'm placing the priority not on the food, but on the birthright. So you have a picture of two men. One is concerned with his flesh. One is concerned with the soul. I want to ask you this morning, examine your activity. Examine what you give your time to, what you give your talent to, what you give your treasure to. Is it to those things that just benefit your body? Or do you invest in those things that benefit your soul? I want to ask you a question. I'm sure you know the answer. We're made up of three parts. I mean, we're all a Trinity in degree. I want you just out loud, name me the three parts that make you up. A little louder. What'd you say first? Now, you just did it. You proved my point. You said body, soul, and spirit. Amen? That's not the Bible order. But you told something about yourself. I'm not beating up on you. I mean, I do the same thing. But in 1 Thessalonians 5, verse 23, the Bible said, and I'll read it for you, 1 Thessalonians 5:23, and the very God of peace sanctify you wholly, and I pray God your whole spirit and soul and body be preserved. God starts with the spirit. But you ask 10 people to name the three parts that make up a man, and I would say at least 8 of them would say body, soul, and spirit. They'd give it to you in that order. But God says if you want the right order, it's spirit, soul, and body. You know what we say about ourselves, even if it's unconsciously? We say that we put the emphasis on the body and God puts the emphasis on the spirit. Now, again, I'm not condemning you here. That's just how we think. People would say body, soul, and spirit. And if you're not careful, you can devote yourself to those things that only benefit your flesh. And God will let you do that. Esau was worried about a bowl of food. Jacob knew that there was something more important. I want you to hold your place here and look in John chapter 4 just for a minute. John chapter 4. So, number one, don't miss it. The carnal man is concerned with what benefits his body, while the spiritual man is concerned with what benefits his soul. And the choice is yours. You've got to determine where you place the priority. Are you more concerned and consumed with those things that benefit your flesh? Or are you more concerned and consumed with those things that benefit your soul? John chapter 4 shows this principle as clearly as it could be shown. In John 4, you have Jesus and his disciples, and they come through Samaria. And I'm sure most of you are familiar with this woman of Samaria whom Jesus meets at this well. And he has this conversation with her, and eventually she gets saved. He reveals himself to her, and she trusts him as Savior. Look at the text, John 4. Look in John 4, verse 6. Now Jacob's well was there. Jesus, therefore, being wearied with his journey, sat thus on the well, and it was about the sixth hour. There cometh a woman of Samaria to draw water. Jesus saith unto her, give me to drink. Now I want you to read verse 8 with me. For his disciples were gone away unto the city to buy meat. What were they buying? Meat. What were they going to do with the meat? Eat it. What was it going to profit? Their body. All right. Here you have Jesus. He's concerned with a woman's soul. And you have the disciples, they're concerned with meat. Now, meat's not bad, folks. I'm not endorsing a vegetarian lifestyle. I'm saying you better put the emphasis where God puts the emphasis. This shows up again later in the chapter. Stay in John chapter 4 and look at verse 31. By the time you get to verse 31, the disciples had bought their meat. They had had their lunch. Now they come back and they see the Lord here. He's still engaged with talking to this woman. In verse 31, in the meanwhile, his disciples saying to him, Master, what do they say? They're saying to him, eat. We've got the meat. We've eaten. Now you eat. Look what the Lord says to him, verse 32. But he said unto them, I have meat to eat that you know not of. This puzzles them. Verse 33, therefore said the disciples one to another, hath any man brought him aught to eat? See, they're still thinking carnally, weren't they? They're still thinking earthly. They're still thinking about meat that profits the body. But Jesus sets them straight. Verse 34, my meat is to do the will of him that sent me and to finish his work. What does that show you? The Lord put the emphasis on that which is spiritual. The disciples put the emphasis on that which is fleshly. Now, isn't it a sad thing when the disciples have a different priority from their master? Isn't that a tragic thing when the disciples don't desire the same thing as the master? Here these disciples were concerned about the meat. Lord, you have to eat the meat. We got to go buy the meat. We got to get the meat. And Jesus was saying, my meat, what I'm concerned with, is to do the will of my Father which is in heaven. Now, I want you to examine yourself this morning, folks. Do you concern yourself with that which profits your body or your bank account or your reputation? Or are you concerned with those things that profit your soul? How much time do you spend propping up and primping and tucking and tightening and all that you can do to keep this body up for one more day, one more month, one more year, versus how much time do you spend strengthening your soul? How much time do you spend in God's Word? How much time do you spend in prayer? How many of you see the difference here? Boy, I wish you all get as excited as they do on that side. How many of you see the difference? Esau was worried about his food. Give me a bowl of soup. It's all I'm concerned about, Jacob. You can have the birthright. I don't care about that. I want a bowl of soup. Jacob said, you're willing to give me the birthright for a bowl of soup? Esau said, sure, just give me my food. And that's how some Christians are. They're willing to squander away the blessings of God for those things that just satisfy their flesh for a little while. When Esau, when he had eaten that bowl of soup, what happened to him again in a few hours? He got hungry again, didn't he? And you can spend your time indulging the flesh, doing what feels good, but that will not satisfy you very long. If you want true satisfaction and joy in your life, you better be more concerned with the meat that Jesus spoke of, doing the will of your Father which is in heaven. Now, Esau and Jacob, two different men. Esau was worried about the here and now, and Jacob said, I see there's more value in the birthright. When I saw this next little nugget of truth here, the Lord really put it in perspective for me. I found Esau and Jacob, and each of these men made a two-word statement. And these two words that each man said really defined who they were. Turn to Genesis chapter 32. Genesis chapter 32, in verse 26, you find Jacob wrestling with an angel. How many of you remember that Bible story? Here, Jacob's wrestling with this angel, and really the angel was the Lord Jesus Christ in his pre-incarnate form. Jacob wrestles with this angel, wrestles with the Lord all night long. And just before the day breaks, the angel says to Jacob, now let me go. Now the truth is, folks, the angel could have broken away from Jacob anytime he wanted to. But he was testing Jacob. And notice what Jacob said to this angel. Chapter 32, look at verse 26. And he said, let me go, for the day breaketh. And he, Jacob, said, I will not let thee go except thou, what's the word? Bless me. Jacob said, bless me. But there's two words that Esau uttered. And I want you to turn to Genesis chapter 25 for those two words. Genesis 25. Back where we started, look at Genesis 25, look at verse 30. See if this doesn't summarize it for you. Genesis 25, 30. And Esau said to Jacob, what's the next two words? See the difference? Esau said, feed me. Jacob said, bless me. One was concerned with the meat which is natural. One was concerned with that which was spiritual. These men may not have realized it, but in those two little words, it really summarized what they were concerned about. Now, you're here either this morning, you're either a feed me Christian or you're a bless me Christian. You have a desire. You desire this world and all it can give you, or do you desire the blessing of God? The carnal Christian desires what this world can give him. The spiritual Christian desires that which only the Lord can give. So which are you this morning? Feed me or bless me? Jacob knew the importance of that which is spiritual. I don't want to labor very long here, but I hope I'm getting across to you what's on my heart. I don't want to be the kind of Christian that's always going around looking for an advantage just for my flesh's sake. I don't want to always just be on the lookout for something that'll profit my body, make me feel good for a while. I really do want to be the type of Christian that desires that which is spiritual. I don't want to spend my time concerned about this body. After all, folks, aren't you going to lay it down someday anyway? Aren't you going to get a new body? I mean, haven't you realized already that this body you're in, it doesn't care about you or your soul? How many times has your body got you into trouble? Do you know how it's supposed to be? God said to Rebekah, God said, the elder shall serve the younger. That was God's plan for that case. The elder was to serve the younger. Let me tell you something. In your life, God desires for the elder to serve the younger. The elder in your life is your sin nature, because you were born with it. You were born with a sin nature. That's the elder, brother. But what did you get when you trusted Christ as your Savior? You got the new nature. That's the younger. God desires for your flesh to be subservient to your soul. God desires your flesh to be kept under subjection by your soul and spirit. You get into trouble, hear me, you get into real trouble when you start allowing your flesh to call the shots. When your flesh overrules your soul and spirit, brother, you're headed for ruin. God intends in the life of a Christian for the elder, the old nature, to bow down and serve the younger, which is the new nature. Brother, sisters, I don't know about you, but I'll be glad to leave this old man here when I leave. I'll be glad to leave the old nature here. Won't you be glad to be rid of him? Hasn't he been a monkey on your back since the moment you trusted Christ? Now some of you here, you let the flesh call the shots. You let the flesh tell you whether or not you're going to read your Bible. You let the flesh tell you whether or not you're going to pray. You let the flesh tell you whether or not you're going to come to church, or if you're going to witness or testify. You let the flesh call the shots. And that's not God's order. He desires for the flesh to be in subjection to the soul and the spirit. Now, let me give you this and we're finished. Number one, the carnal man is concerned with that which benefits the body, while the spiritual man is concerned with that which benefits the soul. Then this, and we're finished. Don't miss it. The carnal man desires immediate, hear me, immediate reward, while the spiritual man is looking for eternal reward. Amen. You know what a carnal Christian wants? He wants the joy and the pleasure and the applause and all that's coming to him. He wants it now. The spiritual Christian understands that this life is not about him. And he also understands that his treasure is to be laid up in heaven. And that he's not working for the applause of the world. He's working for the applause of the Lord Jesus Christ. He wants to hear the Lord say, "Well done, thou good and faithful servant." For time's sake, I won't have you turn here, but the best example of this is the prodigal son. Remember him? Remember the prodigal son, Luke 15, he came to his dad and he said to his dad, "Give me the portion of goods that falleth to me." In other words, he couldn't wait till his dad passed away and get the inheritance. He didn't want to wait. He said to his dad, "Whatever you've got in your will for me, give it to me right now." What did he want? He wanted immediate gratification. He wanted it right now. Guess how he came back home, folks? Busted. You know what he did while he was out there in the far country? He squandered away every good thing his father had sent him away with. You know what happens if you're the kind of Christian that lives for today and you want pleasure and joy now? You'll go home if you're saved. Hear me. You'll go home, but you'll go home busted. You'll go to heaven with no reward. You'll have squandered away every good gift the Father gave you. Sad picture, wasn't it? This boy left the father's house probably with his money in sacks on his back. He thought, man, I've got what's coming to me now. I'm going to live it up. And he came back home ragged, hungry, out there feeding the swine. Lost everything his father had given him. I want to help you this morning. Don't listen to the devil's lie that you can have the reward now. Don't seek the crown just yet. Understand that the Bible teaches before there's a crown, there must be a cross. We have to bear the cross here, for the crown's there. Spurgeon said it better than I could. He said that no man ought to expect a crown above until he has carried his cross below. Sometimes we want to bypass the cross and go straight for the crown. Folks, even our Lord didn't take that route. Couldn't the Lord have had the praise of men if he'd wanted it when he came the first time? But he said, I'm not come for that reason yet. He said, the devil said, if you'll bow down and worship me, I'll give you all the kingdoms of this world. But the Lord said, I'm not going to take the kingdoms that way. I'm going to take them all right, Satan, but not that way. Now, I'm going to close with this. Let me encourage you. If you live for the here and now, in other words, if you are all about receiving joy and pleasure now, if you want to live it up here, God may let you have some of your reward here, but that's all you'll have. Jesus said in Matthew chapter 6, listen as I read it to you, concerning the Pharisees. He said, wherefore, when thou doest thine alms, do not sound a trumpet before thee, as the hypocrites do in the synagogues and the streets, that they may have glory of men. Did you hear that? The Pharisees wanted to have the glory of men. The Pharisees were that kind of Christian that every time they do something good for somebody, they make sure everybody else knows about it. You've been around those kind of Christians? Now you're getting quiet, folks. Stay with me. One of those Christians that we had a fellow like this in the church I came from. I hope, we'll edit this out, Brother Moon. We'll edit this part out. But when the plate would come his way, brother, he wouldn't ever get his money out until the plate got right in his pew. Then he'd open his wallet right there and take out the money, and he'd kind of rub it before he put it in. He wanted everybody to see what he was giving. Be careful with that kind of lifestyle. If you want to have the oohs and the ahs of men, you may have it, but that's all you'll have. You won't have any reward in heaven. Let me finish what I was reading to you. That they may have glory of men, verily I say unto you, they have their reward. Do you want your reward here? I mean, do you want instant gratification? Everything's instant now. Instant. I saw a sign for instant bingo the other day. Listen, when I was in school, bingo was fun. I mean, there was something fun about waiting to see what number had come. No, we didn't bet, of course. But you know what I mean? I mean, it was fun to wait and see. But now you just put your money in and you pull the lever and instantly you see if you got a bingo. Everybody wants something instant. Amen. Give it to me here and now. If you live the Christian life that way, you're going to be very frustrated most of the time. I want to encourage you, brothers and sisters, and I love you. Are you willing to be patient and to wait for the Lord to reward you in His time? Or are you seeking the reward here? As I said, you can seek the praise and applause of men, and you may have it, but you won't have anything more. Now, we're going to close the book on Jacob and Esau. And Lord willing, tonight I'll finish this message because I've got several more things I want to say about Jacob and Esau. But as we close, would you go back there where we started in the book of Genesis and go to Genesis, find chapter 32. You You know what a spiritual Christian will do? A spiritual Christian will, if need be, endure some pain, endure some trouble, endure some affliction down here, knowing that his reward is in heaven. But a carnal Christian, he'll have none of that enduring business. He'll have none of that painful stuff. He wants it easy, and he wants it quick, and he wants it now. That's the kind of man Esau was. He said, I want my food, I want it now. But Jacob was a different man. Jacob in chapter 32, as we've read from before, was wrestling with the angel. And he said to the angel, I won't let you go except you bless me. Now, notice what the Lord did to Jacob. He left his mark on him. Verse number 31. And as he passed over Penuel, the sun rose upon him, and he halted upon his thigh. You know what happened during that wrestling match? The angel of the Lord touched Jacob's thigh, and his hip went out of joint. I've never had dislocated hip. I've had both arms dislocated. And brother, that's painful enough. I couldn't imagine a dislocated hip. But he wrestled with this angel all night, and the angel touched Jacob in his thigh and dislocated his hip. You know what the Bible says? Jacob walked with a limp the rest of his life. Every step Jacob took, it was a step of pain. But he was willing to bear it. You know why? Because he knew the blessing was coming later. God let Jacob limp away from that encounter. And Jacob accepted it. Paul accepted it when Paul said, I will glory in my infirmities that the power of Christ may rest upon me. Are you a spiritual Christian? Are you willing to endure the pain and maybe the affliction here, knowing that the reward's coming? Or are you going to be like Esau? Are you going to squander away everything God has for you tomorrow just because you want the reward today? Now, if we were to call Esau back here, and I'll say this, I'll say more tonight, but Esau is one of the most tragic figures in all the Scripture. I mean, the Bible said Esau found no place of repentance, though he sought it carefully with tears. He found no place of repentance. Esau is a tragic figure. If we could call Esau back here this morning and say, Esau, would you do it again? Esau, was that bowl of soup worth it? Was that bowl of soup worth losing the birthright? Plunging your descendants into a life of sin and rebellion, was it worth it? Well, Esau can't come back, and Esau doesn't get another chance, but you do. You're still here. You have the choice. Don't squander God's blessings on your future because you demand the reward today. Don't live for the flesh, folks. Next time the flesh wants you to disobey the Lord, next time the flesh tells you, well, you can get it, you can go next Sunday, or next time the flesh tells you, too tired to read the Bible or no time to pray, or that person you're going to talk to about the Lord, they don't want to hear you anyway, so you might as well not even talk to them about it. Next time the flesh tries to give you that, remember, the elder is to serve the younger. Are you a Jacob? Are you an Esau? Let's pray together. Lord, I thank you for this morning, and I appreciate these dear folks here, and I pray that you would have used your word to help our folks, and may they understand, Lord, that the choice is theirs. They can live a carnal Christian, earthly minded, or they can be a spiritual Christian, heavenly minded. Lord, I'm thankful that you could still use Jacob, even though he wasn't perfect, but Lord, he desired that which was eternal, not that which was temporary. I pray for our folks here this morning. If they identify with Esau, I pray, O Lord, you'd show them the folly of that kind of life, and may they seek that which is spiritual more than that which is earthly and fleshly. And we're going to have an invitation here in just a moment. I'm going to ask you to stand. If you're here and you don't know Jesus Christ as your Savior, I want to invite you to come. We'll take the Bible, be somebody here to pray with you. We'll show you how to be born again, how to know it. Can you know if your sins have been forgiven? Absolutely. Maybe you're here and you've been saved. You're a Christian, but you find maybe you're identifying a little too much with Esau. Maybe you'd like to come and pray. Whatever your need is this morning, let's...